come this morning, we're expecting to hear from you. So, Lord, I pray, Lord, I am totally dependent upon you for your words to be spoken through my feebleness and my weakness. God, may you be honored through the preaching of your word. In Christ's name, amen. Well, good morning, church. So today is our last week in our Growing in Christ series. And speaking of growing, I want to give you just a little update on how little Daisy Joy is doing. She's doing all kinds of cute things. She's now gotten to where she is scooting everywhere. Not crawling yet, but we set her down and you turn your head for a second, all of a sudden she's 5 feet away somewhere else. It's awesome to see. You know, she's getting up on all fours. She's laughing more. She's more alert. She's interactive. You know, it's just a joy to see babies grow, isn't it? You know, I think it's one of the great joys of being a parent is to see your children grow up, to see them mature, to see the new things that they're capable of. I'm personally loving it. It's so great. But I'm hypothetically, if Daisy were to stay at the level she is now, even though it's amazingly cute, but if she stayed that way the rest of her life, something would be terribly wrong. It wouldn't be cute anymore. It would be tragic. You see, God has designed us to grow, both as human beings, but also spiritually speaking. God has designed us all to grow our whole life long. And when we stop growing, it's tragic. We see, because God, he takes delight in seeing us grow to become like Jesus Christ. And to continue that journey, to continue that process our whole life long. And when I think of growing in Christ, you know, when you hear that phrase, what comes to your mind? Think about that. I think for me, when I think about growing in Christ, my mind almost immediately goes to, for some reason, personal spiritual disciplines. I think of reading the Bible. I think of quiet time with God. I think of that journaling and that solitude and all of those things. And for some reason, I don't know about you, but I rarely think of other people when I think about growing in Christ. I rarely think about a community. And I think that's because, at least for me, and maybe this is true for you, I've been taught my whole Christian life long that growing in Christ is primarily what I do as an individual. It's primarily about my spiritual disciplines or my quiet time. And let me just give a big clarifying point. Those are so essential to a vibrant life with Christ. And it's something that Jesus himself modeled, right? That he often got away alone to pray. Yet I wonder, is growing in Christ primarily an individual pursuit? And I would ask the covenant question, where is that really written? Does the Bible really talk about growing in Christ on our own? And my point to you today is, I don't think it does. I think, yes, it has aspects of that, and it's totally important. Let me make that clear. There's a part of that. But it primarily frames discipleship as a communal pursuit, as something you do with other people. And my main point today that I want to get across to you, this is my main theme, it's on your notes, to grow in Christ, get intentionally connected. See what I did there? You thought intentionally connected was gone. No, we're still going. To grow in Christ, get intentionally connected. That's what we need. We grow primarily by being connected to the body of Jesus Christ. And because Jesus, he's the head of the body, he wants his body to grow, to be strong. He wants us to put us through spiritual CrossFit, if you will. Spiritual training. He wants his body to be thriving. He doesn't want his church to be a couch potato, lethargic body. No, he wants his church to be a strong, responsive, that does what he wants his body to do. So because Jesus lovingly cares for us, what he does is he puts us through training. He puts us in a community that's going to help us grow in him. And so all this growing in Christ and everything we're going to say in the sermon, it's only made possible by the grace of Jesus Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit in the church. And because Jesus loves us as we are and loves us enough to not let us stay there, he wants us to grow. So how do we do that? How do we grow while being in an intentionally connected community? Well, I want to invite you to turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to look at verses 11 through 16. Let's read the word together. I'll read it and you can listen. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So how does Paul talk about growing in Christ in an intentionally connected community? Well, I want to give you 3 points today, and I encourage you to take notes because I'm going to give you quite a bit to think about this morning. Number one, the church grows by getting equipped for service to others. The church grows by getting equipped for service to others. And this is how Paul starts out. He says he raises up apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service. So Jesus, being the head of the church, he raises up leaders, he raises up mentors and coaches to equip people in the body to do works of service. And so I think this is profound because in order to be truly helpful to other people in the church, we have to be trained and equipped. Have you ever seen somebody trying to be helpful and really they were actually making the situation worse? You ever had that friend who is just really good at diagnosing you and they have no medical background? I mean, it's unhelpful. You know, and I think the same you could be said. You know, you have that substitute teacher and who comes in and gives the wrong information or the wrong homework assignment. And it's actually, no, that was unhelpful. You didn't have the right training or equipment. You weren't prepared correctly. And so to grow in community, to equip each other, we have to get the right training and equipment so that our helping each other actually helps us grow in Christ and not the opposite. So what does Jesus do to help this? Well, he says he raises up leaders. He raises up leaders in the church. Now, I'm not talking about formal clergy. I'm talking about organic leaders, lay people in the church, all of you guys, that there are leaders among us that God raises up to help equip us for works of service. So what are these leaders supposed to do? Well, it says they're supposed to equip. And this word equip comes from the Greek kartatismos, which means this: to make someone completely adequate or sufficient for something, to furnish completely or to cause to be fully qualified. You see, equipment is all about helping someone become fully trained, to have the right equipment that they need for whatever job that they're doing. And I see two different types of equipment that every believer needs. And I'm going to talk about those. And I'm going to give you 5 of them are skills, and 1 is a piece of knowledge. Okay, these are on your notes. And I'm going to go through them quickly. So we need 5 skills to be equipped. And the first one is apostolic witness. Apostolic witness. Now, there's different understandings of the word apostle in the Bible. But there is Jesus' 12, the people who had seen Jesus. But the word apostle is also the generic term for messenger. One who is sent. An envoy. An ambassador for Jesus Christ. You see, there were other apostles besides the 12 whose job it was to go and start new communities, new churches in new places. They were what we might call the missionaries of their day. And so the apostolic witness is all about the ability to see yourself as a missionary in your context wherever you live. It's the ability to translate the good news of Jesus Christ to different people in different places. And we all need, whether you're a missionary or an apostle or not, we all need that ability. The ability to see ourselves as missionaries in our context. And the apostles help us do that. Number two, second skill that leaders equip with is what I call prophetic vision. Prophetic vision. And when you think about the Old Testament prophets, one small part of their ministry, yes, was talking about what's going to happen in the future. But if you read through, you know, the chapters and chapters of prophecy in this book, what the prophets were able to do is they were able to see the reality that was going on, to see what was happening in the present tense, and to discern God's heart and mind for the community. They say, if we keep going in the direction we're going, this is going to happen. And if we turn around and go this direction, then something else will happen. So prophets, they have the ability to name reality and to paint a picture of a new vision, a new direction, based on the will and heart of God. And so the prophets, we don't all have to be prophets, we don't all have to have that ability or that gift, but we all need to be able to see the vision, right? We all need to be able to name the reality and to be invited into the bigger picture. So we need people to help us do that. We need equipment to know where we're going and where God would have us to go. The third skill that we need is evangelistic training. Evangelistic training. Now again, we don't all have to be evangelists. And I'm not talking about going door to door or going out on the street. It's simply the ability to share your faith in natural, organic, and simple ways so that your friends, family, and neighbors can understand. And so it's that verse in 1 Peter. Always be ready to be able to give an answer for the hope that you have within you. And I believe this is something that we need a little bit of help with doing, right? And I'm just going to say this. Be on the lookout for that coming soon. The Covenant has an initiative for simple, organic training and sharing your faith in natural ways. And it's something we're looking into. Fourth skill. We need pastoral care. Pastoral care. And this is the ability to care for and shepherd others. Our deacons are doing this with the Befrienders Ministry. You know, it's the ability to listen well, to have a listening presence, a healing presence, and to shepherd people in their walk with God. And you don't have to be a pastor formally to do this, but it can be a skill that you can develop. And there are people in our church who are very gifted in this, and they can help you receive that training to be a better shepherd of other people. And number five, we need teaching. We need the ability to teach. The teachers help us know the truth and know how to teach it in understandable and succinct ways. And we have lots of teachers among us, don't we? We have a lot of teachers that Jesus has raised up in this church. Thank God for you. Thank God for all the people that Jesus has raised up, for all of these leaders. And so we need to receive the equipping from these leaders. And lastly, all five of these are dependent upon the one piece of knowledge, biblical knowledge. Biblical knowledge. And, you know, Gene Frost preached on this a couple weeks ago, so I'm not going to go into this very in-depth. But we grow through God's word. And that verse that he preached on says the person of God, the men or women of God, becomes thoroughly equipped. It's the same word. We get equipped for ministry by knowing this and letting it form everything we do. So to grow in Christ, we need to get equipped for service. And we do that by learning those five skills from other leaders in the church and by getting equipped with biblical knowledge. Okay? So that's number one. Number two, we grow by ministering to one another. The church grows by ministering to one another. You see, the equipment, this training that you receive, it's not meant to help you just grow for your own enjoyment. It's meant to equip you to help other people, to serve each other. This is why he says, verse 12, to equip his people for works of service. It's an outward-focused thing. So the point of having leaders in the church, the point of having people on boards, or the point of having pastors is not so that they do the work for us. It's so that they equip us and empower us for all of us to do the work. So that we have a healthy, a skillful, a knowledgeable every member ministry. That's how we grow in Christ. And then look at this in the passage. If you've got your Bibles open still. It says, when the leaders do this, when we receive that training, this is what happens. The body of Christ is built up. We reach a unity in the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, and we become mature to the whole measure of the fullness of Jesus Christ. That's amazing. That's a lot of things. That's a lot of stuff. All really important stuff. And that's how it happens. So it's not about our individual pursuits to become like Jesus, though we all need that. I hope you're all doing that. But it's about helping one another to grow and to reflect Jesus Christ so that our whole church is a reflection and an image of Jesus as a community. And I want to give you a quote from John Calvin. You know, being Reformation Sunday, he's one of the reformers. And it's a long quote, so it's going to be on the screen. But I just love it because the reformers, they didn't hold anything back. They just go crazy. So this is his comment on this passage. He says, "They therefore are insane who, neglecting this means of building up the church, hope to be perfect in Christ, as is the case with fanatics who pretend to secret revelations of the Spirit, and the proud who content themselves with private readings of the Scripture, and imagine they do not need the ministry of the church. The church is the common mother of all the godly, which bears, nourishes, and brings up children to God, kings and peasants alike. And this is done by the ministry of the church. Those who neglect or despise this order choose to be wiser than Christ. Woe to the pride of such men. If we wish to be considered members of Christ, let no man be anything for himself, but let us all be whatever we are for the benefit of each other. Let us all be whatever we are for the benefit of each other." You see, Calvin's saying this passage teaches that Jesus Christ has ordained that the body grows through the ministry to one another. And so, yes, it would be insane to think that we could grow any other way. Because this is how Jesus has ordained it. This is how Jesus has set it up. That we grow because he has not given us everything we need in ourselves. He has given what we need through one another. And that's a gift from God. So that's why Paul says at the end of this little chapter here in verse 16, "From him the whole body, joined together and held together by every supporting ligament," that's every one of you, "grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." As each one of you shares your gift with others. As each one of you uses your skills, uses your abilities, the spiritual gifts that God has given you to minister to each other in the body. And so we grow to become like Christ when we get intentionally connected. And we say, "I'm going to use my gifts to be around other people and to serve them." Number three, the church grows by speaking the truth in love to each other. The church grows by speaking the truth in love to each other. Back to the passage, Ephesians 4, verses 14. He says, "We will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching and the cunning and craftiness of people. But he says, "Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is Christ." You see, so Paul starts off this little verse here. He says, lack of spiritual growth, you know, so spiritual immaturity is characterized by a lack of stability in the truth, a lack of stability in the Word of God, in the gospel, in the teachings of Scripture. And so he says, you know, to avoid that, we need to become stable in the truth. And the way that that happens is by speaking the truth in love to each other. Klein Snodgrass, professor at North Park for a long time, he called this perhaps the most important ethical guideline in the New Testament, one that summarizes what Christian living is about. He says, truth is not used to harm, nor is love allowed to distort. Love rejoices with the truth. Both love and truth are needed for health in all relations. See, that truth cannot be used to harm, nor can love be used to distort the truth. We need both together. And if you were here last week, we talked about godly accountability and how all of that works together. So I'm not going to dive into that. And if you didn't hear it, I encourage you to go online and listen. You'll get a more understanding of what I'm talking about. But really, we need people who will ask us, again, how goes your walk? How are you doing in Jesus Christ? I see an area where you could grow, and in love, I'm calling you forth to grow in Jesus Christ. We all need people that we can trust to do that for us. Proverbs 27:6 says it this way, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Is that interesting? You see, sometimes really nice-sounding words, again, can actually be kind of harmful if they're distorting the truth. And sometimes words that can hurt us the most, they can be the most helpful thing you ever receive in your life if they're done in love. You see, and our culture has gravitated towards being one or the opposite, you know, of this love and truth thing. You know, there's folks who just want to tell it like it is. And it doesn't matter how stern you are, doesn't matter how unkind, how racist you are, how whatever it is, you just need to speak it like it is. And they just tell the truth with no love. And then there's folks on the other side, it's like, well, they don't want to say anything that might hurt somebody, and they distort the truth or don't say the truth at all. And just, you know, just don't say anything. That kind of being that kind, that kind piece, that love piece. But what our world is in dire need of is people who can plainly state the truth with the utmost love, with the utmost grace, with the utmost kindness towards other folks. We need love and truth combined. And the church can be the place where we live this out and where we practice this, where we lovingly tell each other the truth, because our goal is for this church to reflect the goodness and the maturity of Jesus Christ, isn't it? That's our goal. And we want to help each other do that. So, to sum up, to grow in Christ, we have to be intentionally connected. That's the only option. And these three points, they only work when we're intentionally connected. How can you get equipped by other people for service unless you're connected to them and doing life with them? How can you be ministering to other people unless, again, you're intentionally connected to them and serving them? And how can you be speaking the truth and love to people if you're not connected? It's so hard to say anything truthful unless you have some level of trust in relationship. That only works when we're intentionally connected to each other. So this whole Ephesians 4 and growing in Christ, it's dependent upon the first part of our purpose statement. We have to live that out. We have to be intentionally connected so that we can grow in Jesus Christ. They work together. And all of it's only made possible by God's grace, by the power of the Spirit, that we can become like Him. What a gift. What a gift. The ability to become like our Savior and Lord. That's amazing. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and pray. Oh Lord Jesus Christ, You are the head of the church. God, it's my prayer that You would help us to live out the teachings of Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. God, help us to be an intentionally connected community. God, we're striving for that. Lord, help us to grow, to become like You, that both our individual lives and also our church would reflect Your goodness, would reflect Your maturity. God, I pray You would raise up leaders in the church. You would raise up those who have that apostolic witness. You would raise up the prophets who can see the vision and see where we are and where we need to go. and what you might have to say to us. God, I pray you would raise up evangelists, people who are passionate about the good news and who can help us share our faith. God, raise up pastors in this church, people who care for others. And Lord, raise up teachers, teachers who know your word and can teach your truth so that we can apply it in our lives. And God, may we all use our gifts to serve each other. Would you grow your body to become like your son? In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand.